WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Batman Begins and War of the Worlds are two hit summer movies that are reworkings of old material. Critic-at-large John Power says only one film seems to capture the mood of our time.
As last week's bombings in London reminded us, we live in an era officially defined by the War on Terror. Naturally, all this seeps into our popular culture, where two current blockbusters, Batman Begins and The War of the Worlds, have clearly been touched by America's current obsession with terrorism. By now, everybody knows the story of Batman Begins. Christian Bale plays Bruce Wayne, whose parents were murdered when he was a boy. Driven by rage and the desire for revenge, he transforms himself into Batman, a crime fighter who's also something of a creature. To defeat evil, he must tap into his own dark ruthlessness, even if this means Batman isn't really likable. Now, such an idea should carry a timely sting in this age of terrorism, with all the tricky moral questions raised by Abu Ghraib, the Patriot Act, and preemptive war. Especially since the film's villain is an apocalyptic terrorist who wants to destroy Gotham City in order to purify it. But given all this topical subject matter, the movie is strikingly old-fashioned. The Batman saga was created during World War II, and it still has the reassuring vibe found in old comic books and Star Wars movies. It's a franchise. Curiously enough, what may be most old-fashioned about the new Batman is its idealism. Batman believes in both action and community, as he explains to his loyal butler Alfred, marvelously played by Michael Caine.
Are you coming back to Gotham for long, sir?
As long as it takes, I'm going to show the people of Gotham their city doesn't belong to the criminals and the corrupt.
In the Depression, your father nearly bankrupted Wayne Enterprises combating poverty. He believed that his example could inspire the wealthy of Gotham to save their city.
Did it?
In a way, their murder shocked the wealthy and the powerful into action.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol, I can be incorruptible, I can be everlasting.
What symbol?
Something elemental, something terrifying.
If Batman dreams of shaking his fellow citizens out of their apathy, the hero of Steven Spielberg's The War of the Worlds just wants to stay alive. Tom Cruise stars as Ray Ferrier, an irresponsible divorced father who's been given his kids for the weekend. But just after they arrive, monstrous alien war machines rise from the concrete and start pulverizing everything and everyone. So Ray takes his kids and heads for the hills. Ever since H.G. Wells wrote his original novel in 1898, the War of the Worlds story has been a repository for cultural anxieties. While Wells' book reflected that era's worries about run-amok technology and threats to the British Empire, Orson Welles' famous panic-inducing radio broadcast offered a foretaste of World War II. Spielberg's new version clearly taps into our fears of terrorism. After the Space Invaders hit, we even see people carrying around posters of missing loved ones. The single most striking thing about the War of the Worlds is that a Tom Cruise hero makes no attempt to fight back. He leaves that to the military, who we see in the background fighting and dying. In fact, the only civilian who does try to fight is a clammy survivalist played by Tim Robbins. Faced with an enemy too mysterious and powerful to challenge, Ray's only goal is to protect his own family. He seems to believe that old line from the movie Mars Attacks, "Puny humans, resistance is futile." Then again, the movie's real theme isn't battling terror, it's watching it. From the opening scenes of Ray's aghast gaze as the invaders destroy his neighborhood, to the moments when Ray covers his daughter's eyes, to Ray's son abandoning his family with the words, "I want to see it," Spielberg's film is obsessed with the voyeurism of horror, the overpowering desire to look at the spectacle of destruction rather than battle it. This is a voyeurism the movie audience shares. We enjoy the big-budget mayhem in the safety of an air-conditioned theater. Eerily enough, it's this very aura of passivity that makes The War of the Worlds feel so true. It captures a quintessential modern experience. We watch endless televised images of terrorist destruction, but ourselves do nothing to fight it. We watch images of our soldiers in Iraq, yet it feels as if there's nothing we can do. Like the space invaders, history is just too big and powerful. In his famous 1940 essay, Inside the Whale, George Orwell wrote that post-World War I Europe had become so overwhelming that it led to the increasing helplessness of all decent people. Rather than trying to change their world, they found it unchangeable, and therefore sought some sort of refuge in the private realm. Precisely that same attitude runs through the War of the Worlds, which is very much a document of our time. After 2 hours of flamboyant death and destruction, the film winds up like so much of Spielberg's work, with the preservation of a family. Talk about seeking refuge in the private realm. Sure, a billion people were slaughtered by those evil Martians, but Ray learned to be a good father. Now that's a happy ending.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue and author of Sore Winners, now available in paperback. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.